This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
J.D. Vance today defended manhood. Yes, being a man. It was one of my favorite moments today, the Vice President's speech at CPAC. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Yeah, the Vice President spoke at CPAC. I'm not at CPAC this year because of various other commitments. It's always a great time, though. I know Opelka's there, so maybe we'll get Opelka to call in. Apparently, Elon Musk is going to speak at CPAC at 3:30 today or 4:30 today. I wouldn't mind dipping into that for a little bit. So, Matt, if we just monitor C-SPAN, because I think they're going to carry it, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe they have the CPAC YouTube stream up. I'd like to hear what Elon has to say. Obviously, he is at the center of the storm right now regarding Doge and everything else. So we'll have that conversation as well. Vance, yeah, and we've got a bunch of cuts of J.D. Vance today, too, from CPAC. And also, I should mention to you, the president on Air Force One last night saying that they are going to audit Fort Knox, which comes at a great time because one of my favorite movies of all time is Goldfinger. And there's some news today about James Bond and the franchise being purchased. And we'll talk about that as the show goes on today as well. But let me play this clip. This is from the White House press briefing a short time ago. This is White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, who talked about everything that's trying to occur in what the president's been trying to do here in the first month. This marks the first month today of President Trump's administration. Honestly, it's hard to believe it's only been a month, right? I mean, it feels like it's been years. There's so much action that's been going on. This is just the nature of how President Trump rolls, right? He just goes, it's a steamroller, bulldozer. It's how he does things. So here's Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, cut number one.
Thank you all for joining today, our one-month celebration of the most historic opening to a presidency in American history. No president comes close to what Donald Trump has achieved over just the last 30 days. He has packed 8 years of transformative action, restoring this nation, restoring our laws, restoring fairness, restoring economic opportunity, restoring national security in just 1 month. No one in this country has ever seen anything like it. And when you look at the consequentiality and the significance and the transformative nature of the actions he's taking, it truly defies description. For example, in just one area, this nation has been plagued and crippled by illegal discrimination, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. It's strangled our economy. It has undermined public safety. It has made every aspect of life more difficult, more painful, and less safe.
The nonstop effort to try to get all these things done in the first 100 days, you always hear about the first 100 days being the most consequential for an administration. Well, For them, it's the first 30 days. They don't want to mess around. They want to just get in there and get it done. And he talked about going after the cartels, going after the gangs, going after the real bad guys here. Cut number two.
Today, it is officially the law of the land, at the conclusion of the congressional notification process, that six Mexican cartels and two transnational gangs, Tren de Aragua, or TDA, and MS-13, so eight organizations in total, are now formally designated as foreign terrorist organizations, which means that every single member of those organizations who operates on U.S. soil is now, as a legal matter, a terrorist, and they will be treated as terrorists. This is a sea change in U.S. policy, and this means the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security, along with the rest of U.S. law enforcement and the Department of Defense, are now operating in a legal reality where these cartels are recognized as terrorists, and there will be a whole-of-government effort to remove these terrorists from our soil and to degrade their ability to threaten or undermine any American security or sovereignty interests. Border crossings, since the day he took office, are down 95%. I think it's almost impossible to even describe the scale and scope of that achievement. President Trump, within days of taking office, cut border crossings 95%.
President Trump is speaking right now at his event for Black History Month, and I want to be able to dip into that so we can hear what the president has to say. I'm particularly curious about who he's going to choose to honor during Black History Month. You know that our buddy Dr. Wilfred Riley is hoping that he will recognize Dr. Thomas Sowell during Black History Month as, I think, one of the most consequential human beings, one of the most consequential. Tiger Woods is there as well at the White House. All right, can we dip in here and grab some audio?
Here with you, Mr. President, and to be on the road here with all of you. Thank you so much.
Is that Tiger?
Yeah.
Thank you. Happy
to. All right, over here. Thanks, Tiger. And I want to thank all of you very much for being here. Welcome to the White House, and we proudly celebrate Black History Month. How are you, darling? Today we pay tribute to the generations of Black legends, champions, warriors, and patriots who helped drive our country forward to greatness. And you really are great, great people. What a great, nice. Hundreds of incredible members of the African American community, many of whom are making history themselves, including one of the greatest athletes of all time, who you just said hello, the man who matched Sam Snead's number one record for the most PGA Tour wins ever, and a man who has 15 majors, and he's got a long way to go, too. I was with him a week ago. We played. I think he's got some left, doesn't he? Huh? He's got a couple of majors left, maybe more than that. But Tiger Woods, he's an incredible guy, an incredible athlete, incredible player. Thank you for being with us, Tiger. Thank you very much. And he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which he proudly wore today. And it's we have Senator Tim Scott here. What do you think, Tim? You never got the Presidential Medal. Maybe someday. Maybe someday. You better believe it. And also, Adam, thank you very much. Adam is, as Tiger will tell you, one of the greatest players and one of the great modern players. And he had 32 wins worldwide and winning the Masters also. And he's something very special and a great representative of golfers and athletes. Thank you very much, Adam. Even though he doesn't quite come from our country, he sort of does, right? He's here a lot. He comes from another nice place like Australia, right? And they've been very good, very, very good to us. Jay, thank you very much. Appreciate it very much. We also have the head of Pfizer here, so I want to thank him. One of the great, great people, one of the great businessmen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That's funny.
I want to congratulate our newly sworn-in Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Scott Turner. Come in.
I ran into him today.
Come on up here, Scott.
At Fox, by the way.
I had Tim Scott pushing him so hard, you have
better.
No idea. I had no choice. Is that right, Tim?
That's better.
No, Scott is, I've known him a long time, and Scott's a real champion. Say a couple of words, Scott.
Well, hello, everyone. Is everybody happy to be here together? Is everybody happy to be here together? Amen. Well, first of all, you know, I want to thank President Trump for his confidence in appointing me to this position. I consider it a great honor and a great blessing. And I thank God for this, and I'm real humbled by it. And you can guarantee that every day that I'm going to lay it down for the people of America. As Senator Tim Scott, thank you for your leadership. I really appreciate you. And for all of those who have gone before us, and those of you who have such a great voice today, keep on speaking, keep on preaching for not just Black America, but for all America. So we appreciate you. And my sister, Brooke Rollins, and all of those here, Mr. President, we look forward to working with you.
Oh, sir. Brooke was on the show with us yesterday.
This great agenda. We pray for you.
Secretary of Agriculture.
God bless you, and thank you. God bless America. Thank you for President Trump.
Thanks, sir.
And I see we have a newly, I think you just got in, right? They just confirmed you, and you did it very nicely. Brooke Rollins, she's the Secretary of Agriculture. It's a big deal.
She was on our show yesterday.
That's great.
I know her.
That was a good vote you had, too, huh? She went through very easily, a little easier than some of our people, but they were all approved, every one of them. And today we just had Kash Patel approved, which is great.
That's huge.
So, Brooke, congratulations. Secretary of Agriculture, that's big stuff, right? That's big. So you're going to do fantastically. And congratulations also to a really good friend of mine. He endorsed me early, and he was one of the best surrogates you could have. The surrogate is when you walk around and go on television shows, and they go try and beat you up, but he beat them up. They didn't have a chance against Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina.
Oh, man, love Tim Scott.
And he's now the longest-serving Black United States senator in the history of our country. I don't know.
Wow, and he's a Republican.
That's
imagine that.
Good. He's going
to love how they used to call Trump
time,
a racist.
Right? He just got married. Congratulations on that, too. That's beautiful, beautiful wife. Thanks as well to Congressman John James. Where's John James? Is he here? Hi, John. How are you? It's a star, young star. I knew that 5 years ago, right, John? I sort of predicted it. And I'm really proud to say that we now have more Black Republicans serving in the U.S. House than at any time since 1870. That's a long time, 1870.
It's a big
deal. So thank you very much. And Scott, you're going to be fantastic. I'll tell you, you're going to do a great job. As you know, the Americans are going to be celebrating something very important coming up, our 250th anniversary, our nation's founding. And when we do, we're going to look forward to honoring the contributions of countless Black Americans who fought to win and protect and expand American freedom from the very, very beginning. And some of my good friends are here today, and I appreciate you being. I'm not going to call out your names because Tiger will get very bored. He'll say, this is a little boring. This is a little boring if we do that. But I want to thank you all for being here. You are our friends, and we appreciate this. You, McGee. You are my friend. The last administration tried to reduce all of American history to a single year, 1619. But under our administration, we honor the indispensable role Black Americans have always played in the immortal cause of another date, 1776. We like 1776. In the very first skirmish of the Revolutionary War at Lexington Green, an enslaved Black man named Prince Estabrook. You know Prince Estabrook? Yeah. Answered history's call and fought as the Minuteman alongside the other patriots of the very small Massachusetts town. Couldn't protect itself, but they did a good job. Prince was wounded in the early morning battle, becoming not only the first African-American soldier to fight in the Revolution, but among the very first Americans to spill their blood. One of the first in the nation to spill blood in that very, very tough time. Soon, Estabrook joined the Continental Army and ultimately won his own freedom along with that of his fellow Americans. His legacy will endure, and we're very proud to honor him today. It's a very important day in our country, and we honor him. First person to spill blood happened to be Tim Estabrook. Today, I'm pleased to announce that we will be including the statue of Prince Estabrook in our new National Garden of American Heroes. We're going to be doing a garden.
That's fantastic.
Of American Heroes. And now that I think of it, I must tell you, you know, sadly, most of them, I guess all of them, are not with us any longer. I was going to put Tiger in the garden, but maybe you don't want to be there. I maybe should wait a little bit, huh? Like about 50, I think I'm going to wait about 50 years, all right? But Tiger's going to make it, okay? But I'm a little afraid to tell him yes, because he'd be the only one that's living. I don't know, Tiger. Tiger's rejecting that offer, right? Under the executive order I signed last month, this new beautiful outdoor statue park. It's going to be a statue park. It's going to be unbelievable. We're picking the final sites now. It's between various states that want it very badly. We'll honor hundreds of our greatest Americans to ever live, including countless Black Americans icons. The garden will predominantly feature incredible women like Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks, Billie Holiday, Aretha Franklin, and Coretta Scott King. And I will showcase extraordinary. It will be something very extraordinary. It's going to be producing. We're going to produce some of the most beautiful works of art in the form of a statue for men like Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington, Jackie Robinson. What a great athlete that was. Martin Luther King Jr. Muhammad Ali. He's not a bad athlete. What do you think, Muhammad? Not too bad. And the late Kobe Bryant. People love Kobe Bryant. And we're going to save Tiger Woods for another time. That's all that I can. I'm sorry. During Black History Month, we pay tribute to these heroes and to so many others, but not simply because they're Black heroes, but also because they are truly American heroes who inspire all of us very much so. The theme of this year's celebration is African Americans and labor. And we want to thank all of the Black workers, construction workers, and every other worker. They do a job like nobody can do. And we want to just thank them very much for their contribution. Tim, the contribution you've made, Tim, is incredible. Opportunity Zone, so many people. So many. He's the father of Opportunity Zone. I'm just the son. He's the father, because he came into the White House, the Oval Office, with this idea. And it's probably the number one economic development project ever in our country. And I want to give Senator Tim Scott the credit for it. Good job, Tim. Of course, millions of Blacks were first brought here in slavery, and they were kept in that evil condition for really generations. But because of the steadfast faith and courage of so many patriots of all colors, we abolished that horrific institution, expanded civil rights, and advanced America's destiny as one nation under God with liberty and justice for all.
Bravo. This is great.
Just a few months ago, the people in this room and millions of other Black Americans played their own part in the American story when you went to the voting booths and restored a nice, good, solid government. And there's a guy that really helped. There's a man that really helped. You really are great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't forget. I'm proud to say that we received, listen to this, more votes from Black Americans than any Republican president ever. Not even close.
That's great. Almost, and the guy who was a racist,
almost
right?
Almost 40% of the vote. Now, I won't be happy the next time. Should I run again? You tell me.
He's kidding.
There's your controversy right there. There's your controversy.
He's just joking. Relax.
Thank you. You'll be seeing that. You're going to see that tonight, Tim, on television. I want to thank just a few of the people who are with us today, and these are great friends of ours. Alveda King. Alveda, where are you, Alveda? Hi, Alveda.
Oh, she's
terrific. Thank you. You've been with me from day one, and I appreciate it. I won't forget it.
I hope Diamond
she's
and Silk are there.
She's a fantastic woman. Alice Johnson. Where's Alice?
Oh, Alice Johnson.
Boy,
she
are you incredible. I watched you on last night on television. You were so good. You know, Alice was in prison for doing something that today probably wouldn't even be prosecuted. She spent 22 years in prison, 22 years. She had another 22 years left. Can you believe it? And I pardoned her, and it was one of the best pardons.
Yep, absolutely was. One of the best absolutely pardons.
You know what she was on? She happened to be on the wrong telephone line. Is that true? She was on a telephone call. And I'm not saying it was perfect, but it wasn't worth 40 or 50 years, Alice. And you've been an inspiration to people. And we're going to be listening to your recommendation on pardons. You're going to go over and she's going to be my pardon czar. Okay?
Wow. That's a big deal.
People just like you that should not have happened. It should not have happened. So you're going to look and you're going to make recommendations, and I'll follow those recommendations, okay, for pardons, all right? Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
A man who's just incredible. This guy, I watched him when he was a Democrat, and then one day he had to change because he couldn't take it any longer. And did anyone ever hear of a man named Leo 2.0 Terrell? Get up here. I love this guy. You know what he's doing now? He's with the Department of Justice. He's in charge of civil rights and lots of other great things. He's going to be working with Pam. It's okay. Could he come up, please? Come on, Leo. Get up here. Leo 2.0. This guy is great. Hello, man.
You are the greatest.
Thank you.
I just want to say we are in the presence of the greatest president of all time. He is the greatest president in our lifetime. And I'll tell you right now, the Democratic Party should be worried because they took us for granted. No longer. We vote in our best interest. We want the same thing that every American wants. Good job. We want a secure border. We want to pay lower taxes. And Mr. President Donald Trump is doing that. Thank you, Mr. President.
He's a great guy. No, I watched him. He was a radical Democrat. He became a radical Republican, right? He's great. He's in the Department of Justice. Think of it, doing very important work at highest level. Also, Sage Steele. Sage, where are you? Hello, Sage. Great job you do. You're doing great. Thank you very much, Sage, for being here. Michael, Harry O. Harris. Michael. Hi, Michael. Thank you very much, Michael. Deontay Johnson. Deontay.
You know, Alice
Thank
Johnson.
Lynn Patton. She's worked
there.
For me for a long time.
That was a great pardon. That was a really consequential
for a long time.
Criminal justice reform.
Bob
was really important.
Where's Bob? And we're also joined by 7-time Mr. Olympia. I want to see this guy. Phil Heath. Where's Phil? Phil Heath, I don't want to compare my muscles. Here he is. Thank you, Phil, very much.
It's like Harris Faulkner's there as well.
Will you come up here for a second? Come on, get up.
We got to take a quick break. We'll come right back, though. More of this from the White House. This is a very big deal. This is important. And some of the people that the president recognized for the founding of this country. And, you know, I love the fact that he doesn't, unlike the Democrats who can't get over slavery, he recognizes that we beat slavery, we ended slavery, black and white people together ending slavery, a lot of white blood shed to end slavery, a lot of black blood shed to end slavery, and it's not just about that with the story of black Americans, and I applaud him for that. And I think the criminal justice reform is one of the most important civil rights things. I hope school choice becomes a topic of conversation today during this, because that is the civil rights issue of our time, no question about it. I want to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding. They do fantastic work. They will take great care of your home. And the thing about Emmons is they're offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off. 10% off inflation relief discount for each and every one of my listeners. 10% off the roof, windows, siding, doors. Trust the team at Emmons just like I trust the team at Emmons. They'll do a great job for you. See, when we first used Emmons at our old home, they did the roof, got a 30-year, excuse me, lifetime warranty on that roof. Lifetime warranty on that roof. And then we said, let's do the doors and windows too. Matt and Stephanie, great people. You can trust them, and they will get the job done right for you. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, and they even have a bathroom remodeling division. Excuse me. And yes, Emmons did remodel our bathroom My wife loved it. You know the saying, happy wife, happy life. So I highly recommend the team at Emmons. Just go to emmonsroofing.com, E-M-M-O-N-S, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Say live and let die.
So, Amazon MGM shelled out $1 billion+ to take control of the James Bond franchise. And Daniel Craig, who was the most recent James Bond, who I think was an outstanding James Bond, he's very happy. He said, "My respect, admiration, and love for Barbara and Michael, that is the broccoli duo. Undiminished," he said. "I wish Michael a long, relaxing, and well-deserved retirement, and whatever ventures Barbara goes on to do, I know they will be spectacular, and I hope I could be part of them. An historic agreement that shocked Hollywood. Amazon, MGM, Wilson, and Broccoli have formed a joint venture to house the James Bond intellectual property rights. The three parties will remain co-owners of the franchise, but the studio will have creative control on future projects. Amazon, which bought MGM in 2021 for $8.5 billion, acquired the rights to distribute all James Bond films, but only owned 50% of the franchise, which was relegated to being a passive partner when it came to artistic choices. Since Craig's fifth and final turn as James Bond in No Time to Die, there's been endless press speculation about the franchise's future. Zero announcements about definitive next steps. Wilson, who's co-written the scripts for some of the Bond films along with producing them, has announced he's retiring from Hollywood. "With my 007 career spanning nearly 60 incredible years, I'm stepping back from producing the James Bond films to focus on art and charitable projects. Broccoli plans to continue working in the film industry, but will focus her time and attention elsewhere as a producer. My life has been dedicated to maintaining and building upon the extraordinary legacy that was handed to Michael and me by our father, producer Cubby Broccoli. I have had the honor of working closely with four of the tremendously talented actors who play 007 and thousands of wonderful artists within the industry. With the conclusion of No Time to Die and Michael retiring from the films, I feel it is time to focus on other projects." I think it's interesting that there was a lot of speculation a couple years ago about Bond would be like being a woman or, you know, a black James Bond or gay James Bond or Bond going woke. And I think the one thing is clear now is that if they are going to, if they want to continue with James Bond, especially with Donald Trump as president, and you see the cultural shift, it better be a masculine, ass-kicking James Bond who is as suave and debonair as ever. And that's the bottom line. I think that that is critical. So they're probably going to go with a young Bond, I would imagine, try to reboot the franchise in a you know, maybe doing another, I don't know, maybe another origin story, who knows. It does come on the heels, of course, of Donald Trump saying he wants to go to Fort Knox, which of course was the plot of Goldfinger. But I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But I thought that was some interesting Hollywood news there. I saw my buddy Jack Carr posted about that. Jack Carr's a huge James Bond fan. And Amazon, yeah, well, so that's the question is what's going to happen? Jeff Bezos is woke, but also Hollywood movies in general have to recognize that woke is a recipe for disaster. It just really is. There's no way around it. I think that Marvel is a great example of this. It stinks. The Disney movies are losing money. They're hemorrhaging money. Audiences have moved past this whole lecture me nonsense. They don't want it. So if they try to go down the road of James Bond being anything other than James Bond, that'll be a disaster for them. So, we'll see. I have no way to predict what they will do. But, they wanted to do a female Bond, and the Broccoli family originally said no, which started the feud between... James Bond is a man. Daniel Craig said that, too, and he's a straight man. Daniel Craig laughed at the notion of a gay James Bond. James Bond is a straight male. I don't really think it matters if he's black or white. I think that's like, not really the point. But I mean, for the context of it, he's a white male British spy. I don't see why we can't keep that. And then there's black heroes. I don't think we have to make them white. I think it's the same thing with James Bond. I mean, it's just, keep the character the way it is. It's just I don't really think you have to change it. But he's a white, straight, heterosexual, boozy, womanizing spy. That's the character. Let's just keep that character. I don't know what's wrong with that. I mean, Shaft is a black guy. Like, you wouldn't make Shaft white. You wouldn't turn Shaft into a gay guy. He's like a seminal. It seemed to me like. And then you just wind up losing. Like, people just turn around, they know what you're doing, that you're just playing games here, and then they just get sick of it, it annoys them, and they just get turned off by it. Let's keep James Bond, I mean, it's the same thing when you hear them do whether or not they should do a black Superman, or, I mean, Superman's a white character. No, it's no big deal. I mean, Apollo Creed's black. Creed's black. So I wouldn't want them to take a Creed franchise and then make it into a white guy. Same thing. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is where the road to DEI has gotten us, where it's, you can't even say that. You can now, because we're past all that nonsense, thank God, thankfully. But speaking of that, I want to play a clip for you. This is JD Vance today from CPAC. This is my favorite message to men, to strong young men. And I think this goes a long way with it, too, because James Bond represents that strong manliness. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a guy's guy. He's an alpha male. James Bond is as male as it gets. He's as guy as it gets, right? And that's the character. And for better or for worse, like, there's things about that character that you can admire and not admire. And I think that that's what makes the character good and complex. And I think that when you start to do things like, well, you get away from James Bond's womanizing, for example. But I think it's critical to look at characters for their flaws. And if you want to argue that that's a flaw of the character and you take that away from the character in the name of political correctness, now you've lost a critique of a character. And then you have somebody that's not a fully formed protagonist who has flaws, and that's a problem. I understand things change with the times, but at the same time, the crux of who he is, told in a manner that maybe what drives him, and I think they did this very well with Daniel Craig's James Bond, is what drives him, essentially, his fear of commitment was a fear of losing someone, which ultimately he did in Casino Royale, so he thinks, not to spoil it for you, and then has to wrestle with that. Much like how Superman gives up Lois Lane in Superman 2, because feels like he can't be with her because he can't do his duty to save the world. But these are it's complex ways to tell a story. But I think it's too often when you go down this lens of DEI or political correctness or something, you take away depth of characters and complexities of situations, and then winds up becoming boring. Because tension is what drives a story. Tension is what drives good art, whether it's a play or a movie or something else, a good book, a good story. And you take that away in the name of, we don't want to offend a certain group, and then you lose something, and it becomes a shallow. Like, I watched the new Captain America movie. and I thought it was boring. And my son Patrick, who's 10, didn't like it either. He said the same thing. He said it was not nearly as good as the other ones. There was no depth. There was no complexity to it. I just thought it was. And you lose something with that. And then it's like, I don't spend my money watching something that's dull because you're afraid to go down controversial paths or something. I don't know. Anyway, here's J.D. Vance today. A message to young men. I like what the vice president had to say here. Cut number 7.
My message to young men is don't allow this broken culture to send you a message that you're a bad person because you're a man, because you like to tell a joke, because you like to have a beer with your friends, or because you're competitive. It's...
Yeah, good. Have a beer with your friends and make jokes. Good.
Like... Our message, the cultural message, and I think the president's and mine is the exact opposite, but our cultural message is, I think that it wants to turn everybody into, whether male or female, into androgynous idiots who think the same, talk the same, and act the same. We actually think God made male and female for a purpose, and we want you guys to thrive as young men and as young women, and we're going to help with our public policy to make it possible to do that.
Good. First of all, there's strong women characters too, strong female characters. Like, so you wouldn't make them a man no more than you'd make James Bond a woman. It's the same exact thing I'm talking about. And if Hollywood wants to make money, which is the goal, and you make money by putting out good products, you make money by putting out entertaining quality products, then they'll look to Taylor Sheridan and the work he's done with Landman and with Yellowstone and with 1923 and 1880, whatever it is, and King of Tulsa and all the other movies. And they'll look to that and they'll say, hey, you know what? There's something there. Let's get away from the fish sex movies they had in the past. Even though DeSantis liked that one, though. You liked that fish sex movie, didn't you?
I didn't like that movie.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. Sound of Water, was that it?
Yeah. Or Shape of Water.
Shape of Water. There we go.
The Shape of... Justin, did you like that fish sex movie?
I did not one single bit.
Good. Fantastic. Excellent.
I will say I generally like Guillermo del Toro, the director, but that was not his best work.
No. So Jeff Bezos put out a tweet. He said, who would you pick as the next James Bond? And a couple people made some suggestions. Henry Cavill, who played Superman. That's not a bad pick. He was actually a pretty good Superman. Just the problem is that Zack Snyder directed those movies and they were abysmal. Christian Bale. Christian Bale is Batman, period. End of story. He can't be James Bond. I think they got to go younger. They got to get a guy who's like in his like 20s who can do 3 or 4 movies, right? Don't you think?
Well, I know when the Broccoli family had creative control, the goal was to go younger. Yeah, they wanted somebody in their early 30s. That Aaron Taylor Johnson guy was supposed to be the front runner, but then he had a movie that bombed, and he's a really bad actor in Nosferatu. I don't know if you've seen Nosferatu or
no,
not.
I have not seen that,
he's
no.
Easily the worst part of that movie, and there's not a lot going for it, but he's distractingly bad. So, and he's also below 6 foot, which is apparently an issue that... Daniel Craig, I think, is kind of on the shorter side, and they had some issues casting Bond girls in the previous 5 films. So I think they wanted to go younger and taller.
That's the other thing I want to say. The Bond girls, we need to go back to sexy, smart, super hot, sexy women. There's nothing wrong with that. We should appreciate female beauty and Bond. And I mean, the women who in the Daniel Craig series were all good, but in the last one, I noticed she was wearing like pants and a sweater. Did you notice that in No Time to Die?
Which one?
She was basically looked like she shopped at the Gap.
Wait, was that the woman who ultimately became 007 for a short period of time during that film?
Oh, no, that was a whole stupid subplot. I forgot about that. Now I'm angry again. I forgot about that. That's when they made 007 a woman. Yeah, that was stupid. That's like saying Laura Craft becomes a dude. You know what I mean? The Tomb Raider chick becomes a dude. That's not how this works. No, they had a female 007. That was stupid. But his girlfriend in that movie, who used to be, she was a sex goddess in some of the films. And then like in the last one, she was wearing like a turtleneck and khaki pants. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And it looked like she shopped at Ann Taylor. And I'm like, what is this? What is happening here?
The French actress. I forget what her name is, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and the other thing too is you got to have a James Bond who uses his brains. Just like early on in the series, the franchise, when Sean Connery, he had to use his mind to get out of things. The years where they had Pierce Brosnan and everything just blew up was dumb because, right? Everything, it just blew everything up. That's what led to, ultimately, Michael Myers making Austin Powers and just mocking those movies because they were so ridiculously over the top. And James Bond jumped the shark, and they had to completely reset it with Casino Royale with Daniel Craig, which was a great movie. But it went back to his roots as a guy with all kinds of issues who could kick ass but had lots and lots of demons he was battling. And it was a great movie. But,
I'm ready to be disappointed because the Broccoli family, they've had creative control over that franchise since its existence. And they did a great job with it. And I don't know, some of the creative decisions that it sounded like Amazon wanted to make, which led to the feud, which led to the buyout. I didn't sound like they wanted to take the franchise in a very good direction. Plus,
no.
Daniel Craig is going to be impossible to replace. He was so good.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can always replace somebody. He's great, but you can definitely replace. It's like saying Christopher Reeve. He'll always be the greatest Superman ever, but he's dead, so there's nothing you could do about that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
there are some kind of lousy James Bond, like who's that? Oh, Timothy Dalton, that guy in the 80s, he stunk.
That wasn't a good, those Living Daylights was not good. Roger Moore, okay, so Kirk brought up Roger Moore. He was good, but the movies got goofy. I mean, Moonraker, they got goofy, and they made him into like a goofy James Bond, and that was another problem. But the Bond villains also have to be really good. You got to have good Bond villains. That's also key to the Bond success.
I liked Jaws from the Roger Moore films, the 7 foot tall guy.
He was great.
With the
Jaws was the man.
He was neat.
Now, Cash Patel, who's like our modern day James Bond now, he's going to go after people in the FBI. That'll be good.
Maybe, once he's done that.
Oh, I know who we get as a Bond villain. Get that idiot senator, the one who talks like Sylvester the Cat or Snagglepuss.
Sheldon Whitehouse.
Yes. You get that guy to be a Bond villain. What's that clip with him?
Oh, I
and,
have
and,
it.
And we have it, right?
Yeah.
I forget what. And just to point out how correct I was yesterday on the show when Susie Cool pointed out that, yes, in fact, it is Snagglepuss. No, she said Sylvester the Cat. You said that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but I think it's Snagglepuss. But anyway, where's that dumb senator?
Cut
where
11,
is he?
By the way,
Cut 11. Yeah, listen to him now with the lisp and everything. What Sheldon Whitehouse? Imagine this guy's a Bond villain talking about Cash Patel, but it's as Cash Patel as James Bond. And the thing about Sheldon Whitehouse, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see this. This dude rocks a look that is getting very annoying in my life. Snagglepuss. I agree. I think it's Snagglepuss. Justin, do me a favor, load up Sylvester the Cat and Snagglepuss so we can do our usual understanding of this. But this guy would be a perfect Bond villain, and I'll tell you why. He does this weird thing where he wears a quarter zip sweater with a sport coat over it. And I can't stand that look, and I think that's a total Bond villain look. See what I mean here. Watch this. Go ahead.
Judiciary Committee, what crimes it was that he was concerned about that caused him to plead the Fifth. Cash Patel, mark my words, will cause evil in this building behind us, and Republicans who vote for him will rue that day.
Tell me he does not look like a Bond villain. Do we have the video? Look at it. Look at him. Look at him. See, I know I'm a little behind here on this, but yeah, can you pause the picture on the screen? Let me break this down for you. This guy sounds like an evil Bond villain, doesn't he? Cash Patel is going to go in there and cause evil, and I'm going to get everybody to go in there and fight him. Slow, suffering succotash. That's what I'm saying here. What do we got, Justin? What do you got? Snagglepuss for me, and you got Sylvester the Cat?
I got both of them for you.
All right, go ahead, play him. What do we got?
Suffering succotash.
There you go. Yep. And then the other one?
Good morning, day. A creature unafraid.
I don't know.
Because as the sign says, duck hunting season opens today.
All right, now play Bond villain Sheldon Whitehouse one more time for us here. Go ahead.
Judiciary Committee, what crimes it was that he was concerned about that caused him to plead the fifth. Kash Patel, mark my words, will cause evil in this building behind us, and Republicans who vote for him will rue that day.
Who do we think, guys? What do we think?
I'm thinking more Sylvester the Cat than Snagglepuss.
Yeah, I agree with Justin.
Yeah, all right. Let us know in the YouTube chat if you would for me, please. I would appreciate that. And then let me know who you think would be a good. Wait, Michael Cooper thinks Pierce Brosnan as James Bond
again.
Oh, no, I liked him. It was just the movies were just over the top. That's good.
Yeah, Pierce was wasted. The movies were terrible. GoldenEye was the only exception. The other three movies he did were not good.
By the way, Kirk agrees it's Sylvester the Cat, so I guess I'm outvoted here. It's 3-0. But it's still my show, so I can say Snagglepuss and still win. See, that's the... This is not a democracy. This is a monarchy. All right, I gotta take a break because we have Dr. Victoria Coates joining us. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited to talk to her as we continue along the show here. Dr. Mike Venario, what a great guy. What a great friend he is. He's the master of dental implants. You know what it is? I love to smile. I love to laugh. I love to have a great time in life. I think that if you don't, you'll go crazy. I have gallows humor, as you know. Like tomorrow, I'm getting my foot surgery. So I got to be at Cooper at 5:30 tomorrow morning for my foot surgery. And I really think that I'm on such a great streak right now between Fox News and the White House and everything else that I'm still in a coma at Cooper from many, many years ago. Gallows humor is important, but you can't have gallows humor if you can't laugh and you can't smile. That's why I need a great smile. That's why you got to go see Dr. Mike Venaria. VanariaDental.com. 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 Two locations to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. If you've ever had an estimate for complicated dental work, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike, and you'll be pleased. You'll love the great work he does for you. You'll love the team in his office, the music that plays, all of it. And he's a great friend. He texted me today, as a matter of fact, to check on what time I was going to be on TV. He's just a great guy. And Mama Zioli discovered him for our family, and the entire Zioli family goes to Dr. Mike Venaria. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.